Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Tonight we're going to talk about the man with the withered hand, but a little more specifically, we're going to talk about the determination of our Lord. When he goes after that one sheep that we just read about, he seeks it till he finds it. Henry Mahan has got a message out on the trail of God's sheep. And when God gets on your trail, you're as good as God. And he'll bring you back with him and rejoice over you. Thank you for that reading. It goes right along with what we're going to be talking about tonight. Matthew chapter 12, and go down to verse 8. Down to verse 8, there's been a controversy already over the Sabbath. Our pastor talked about that a couple weeks ago. And in verse 8 it says, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Then saith he to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. All the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three record this same incident, but in each one, there's a slightly different phrase or two. And what I'd like for us to do, if you don't mind, let's just read each one. Let's go to Mark chapter 2 right now. Mark chapter 2. Actually, we're going to start with the last verse of Mark chapter 2. This is the same incident, the same withered hand, the same critics, the same Lord. Verse 28 of chapter 2, Mark. "Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea." Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we'll begin with verse 5. "And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and talked. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. This man with the withered hand wasn't seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ per se. Now he did come to the synagogue. And at the synagogue they were taught the word of God. And at the synagogue they had their own style of worship and things. But he wasn't necessarily seeking after Jesus Christ. Reminds you of what Isaiah said. I am found of them that sought me not. He came to see this man. He was on the trail of this man. He came to one particular man at that synagogue. And it was the man that had the withered hand. I'm sure there were other people at the synagogue. And I'm sure there were other people who had some type of ailment here or there of some kind. But he looked at that man and said, stand forth. Rise. Stand forth. Come here. And to that man, God's grace was given. His hand restored just like the other. This is Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all things. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. The word Sabbath, as we have read here several times, the word Sabbath means rest. And our Lord is our resting place. Now the rest came after 6 days of creation. So he's Lord of creation as well. He is the creator. In the beginning, it says that God made the heavens and the earth. In John chapter 1, it tells us who he is. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now skip down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, he's Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of all things. He's Lord of creation. He's Lord of providence. An ungodly king tells us that. Look in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar went crazy. God made him go crazy. He was out there in the field eating grass like a cow. His skin and hair matted like feathers. And then the Lord brought him back to his senses. In Daniel chapter 4, here's what he said in verse 34 and 35. And at the end of the days of his craziness, going out of his mind, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none could stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? What doest thou? You see, he's the Lord of providence. Everything that comes our way. Everything. Sometimes we call them good, sometimes we call them bad things. But all things work together for good. The them that are called, the them that love the Lord are called according to his purpose. He's the Lord of salvation. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. I want to establish that we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the Lord, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Isaiah 45, look at verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other. Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Our God can do all things. All things are possible to him. He commanded, and it was done. He spoke, and it was done. This is the one who's talking to this withered, to this man with the withered hand. As we mentioned this morning from Psalm 71, verse 3, he commanded our salvation. He's Almighty God. He does what he will, when he will, where he will, and to whom he will. He's Almighty God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto me, unto you, unto him. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. And when he goes after his one sheep, he doesn't stop till he finds it. He will not be deterred. He will not fail. It will be done. In eternity, God chose whom he would have as his elect. He gave those elect to his son who would be surety for them. He would make sure that each one of those would come to his father. He would bring many sons to glory. But not just many sons. He wouldn't lose one. Not one. If he got on your trail and you're one of his, he's not going to lose you. He's able to keep. He's able to save. He's able to do all that he says he will do, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's Almighty God. He's the all-knowing God. He knew their thoughts. Does that cause fear to you a little bit? Or a whole lot? That God knows your thoughts. Now I don't know your thoughts. Now sometimes you can see in somebody's eyes something about what they're thinking. Especially if they flash with anger. But I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. God does. God does. He knows every thought. That's why David said, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. He's the all-knowing God. You know, he wasn't surprised When he came to the synagogue, and all these critics were on one side, all the people were on the other, and there was a poor man with a withered hand right in the midst of all this, he wasn't surprised. He knew it was going to be there. He knew exactly what he was going to do. It wasn't a thing that took him by surprise. You see, he was determined to do something that day, and it was a Sabbath day. And how could he have this kind of authority? Let me just say this. Jesus Christ is the authoritative Lamb of God. Not just the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but they fled from the wrath of the Lamb who sat on the throne. He's the authoritative Lamb of God. He can do whatever he purposes to do. As a matter of fact, he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. And how did he get that? He bore our sins on the tree. He satisfied God's justice for his people. He redeemed us. He bought us with the price of his own blood. He was buried and rose again the third day, and God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow. They'll give him the glory, no matter whether they are his sheep or the goats. They will give him the glory. Remember how Moses talked to Kohath that day? The Battle of Ai. I'll get his name here in a minute. Help me out if you know it real fast. Anyways, the guy that stole the wedge of gold and the Babylonian garment, and God was going to pour out judgment upon he and his family, he said to that man, give God the glory. Even in judgment, give God the glory. He gets the glory no matter what it is. He must get the glory. He's the authoritative Lamb of God. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he is not deterred by any circumstances of life. They don't take him by surprise. They take us by surprise. I remember a few years ago, I preached a message here on Remember Thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And on my way home, I had a heart attack. And as I was laying there, waiting for doctors to take care of me, whatever they could do, as I was laying there, I thought, what a wonderful illustration God has given to this congregation. You don't know just when the Lord will say, it's time. And when he says it's time, for those who know him, it's just a step between us and God. We'll go to sleep here, wake up automatically there with him. You see, he shall not fail. He'll not be discouraged. Luke said he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He said to his disciples, I must go. He will not fail. Isaiah said it this way, I've set my face like a flint. I must go. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. That sounds kind of determined to me, doesn't it, to you? That sounds like nothing would deter him. It was a Sabbath day. Is it lawful to do anything on the Sabbath? Well, if a sheep fall in the pit, you go grab it out of there. And a man's better than a sheep. That's what he said to him. A man's better than a sheep. There was a sheep there. Had a withered hand. And he's going after him on the Sabbath day. That man couldn't do anything for himself. He was in the pit. And his hand was all withered. He was in a synagogue full of people. He taught in their synagogues. He worshiped in their synagogues. But in this one day, he singled out a man. One man. Now his critics were there. These Pharisees and Herodians. Pharisees and scribes, and then later on they got together with the Herodians, which were two complete different sects. But they got together on behalf of Jesus. Let's destroy him. They sought for things and ways to destroy him. Peter said it this way, "You, by wicked hands, put Jesus Christ on the cross." But that was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That was his way of doing things. They watched Jesus Christ. Remember it? What we read there? They watched him. Can you just imagine how depraved men are that they sit around and watch just to see if you do anything wrong? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I preached for 40 years in a church like that. Just sit around. The only thing we looked for was wrong. Never looked for things that are good. Never committed much of anything that was good. But always looking for something wrong. Oh, brother, what you did. Now we need to do something about that. They watched him. They wanted to accuse him. The carnal mind is enmity against God. They were enemies. They sought to destroy him. Several times they, for instance, they took him to the brow of the hill, going to throw him over. Another time they were going to stone him. But he walked right through the midst of them. They didn't touch him. He was not intimidated. He was not intimidated by his critics. And you know, it does hurt us sometimes, especially if there are people who are close to us that criticize what we believe, who Christ is, sovereign free grace. Sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it hurts. But we can't be intimidated by it. We must stand and say, this is what the truth is. This is what the truth is. And of course, he was not deterred by the man with the withered hand. His right hand, that's a picture of all mankind. We're withered, we're shrunk, we're wasted away, we're dead. That hand was useless. There was nothing to it. David said this in Psalm 102, "My days are like a shadow that declineth. I'm withered like grass." Isn't that what Isaiah said? "What shall I say? Tell them that all men are grass and that they wither away." This man had a withered hand. And he calls to this man in the midst of that congregation, his critics and the other people who were there who were worshiping. He says, "Arise, stand forth." And he calls to this man. It was no accident that our Lord Jesus was there. It was no accident that that man with a withered hand was there. It is no accident that you and I are here tonight. None. And it's no accident that the Lord is here tonight. All on purpose. All on purpose. Well, there was only one who could help this man. Only one, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. "I was found of them who sought me not." This man wasn't seeking, but our Lord was on a mission. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came into the world to save sinners. He was on the trail of a sheep. He would not be deterred. He would not fail. He will not lose one. God will, they shall. Boy, that was a good message, wasn't it, during the conference? God will, They shall. And that's what's happening right here. And you know, though we read about this man in three different books of the Bible, three of the Gospels, as far as I know, he's never mentioned again. As far as I know, he only saw the Savior once. That was all that was needed. That was all that was needed. He saw him once. That took care of things. Our Lord was not deterred by that withered hand. Who made that withered hand? Who's the first cause of everything? We call them problems. But who's the first cause? As a matter of fact, all things work together for good, don't they? But we call them problems. They're not problems. They're good things for us. They work for us. They guide us. They help us. He's the first cause. And he does all things after the counsel of his own will. This man had the withered hand. It was for God's glory. It was for God's glory. Jesus Christ was going to come and do something for him. The grace of God was going to be seen on one particular person in that congregation. And isn't that how God works? One-on-one. One-on-one. Even when there were 3,000 saved at Pentecost, individually, they were saved. 5,000 later, individually, they were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Multitudes after that, and of priests. And I wonder if it was many of those priests who cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" and got the crowd all stirred up in the mob. I wonder if God spoke to those guys. And they were delivered, just like the others. You see, he had that withered hand. We read it this morning from Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. We're without strength. We have inability. We can't do anything for ourselves. There was no way for this man to do anything for himself. He was in need of mercy. He was in need of this grace. Something had to happen, or it would never happen. Have you seen these people that have a handicap and another sense of theirs is enhanced and strengthened? A blind man, I have a deaf man that lives across the street from me. When I go there, all I have to do is knock on the door. But he's deaf. He feels the sound. Or I stomp on the porch. He feels the sound and comes to the door. Now, I can't talk to him in sign language. I can say hi to him and that kind of thing, but that's all I can do. But every once in a while, I'll take them over something to eat, some fresh corn or something like that. And that's what I do. In just a moment, the door opens. His other sense has been increased. I wonder, because of this withered hand, now this is surmise, this is not preaching, okay? I wonder if that withered hand, because he had that for probably such a long time, that this left hand was strong, ever so strong, and much stronger than normally it would be. And when the Lord made this one whole, I wonder if it was just like that one, strong as that one could be. I do know this. When the Lord saves his people, he makes them just like him. He was in need of mercy. And our Lord went to the heart of the problem. The heart of man's problem today is sin. And the gospel is the only thing that goes to the core, to the heart of man's problem. I'm a helpless sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. And I need Him every day. Every day. Our Lord commanded this man to surrender that problem. Stretch forth thine hand. The problem was his hand. Stretch forth your hand. He didn't say stretch forth your feet. He didn't say wash your hands. He didn't say anything else. He just said to this man, arise, stand forth. And he looked around on all these critics around and with anger because of the hardness of their heart. And then he spoke to the man. I'm not even sure if he even looked at the man because of these critics who were there. But he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. He commanded, and it was done. He stretched forth his hand. This hand that had no ability. He had no hope of having a hand that would be a good hand, a usable hand. His life was without God. Our life was without God. We have no hope of doing anything on our own and for ourselves. And God says, I commanded your salvation. I said, come. And you came. I said, look, and you lived. I said, believe, and you trusted me. Well, all I have to give to the Lord is this old sinner. I don't have anything else to give him. I'm not worth anything. I'm unworthy. There's no godliness about me. I'm ungodly. I have nothing to give to Him but who I am. And who am I? I'm a sinner. He commanded to surrender the problem. And when we come before God, I'm a sinner, Lord. I have no hope. I have no way of knowing I could have any hope. And if you wanted to send me to hell, you could do it and be right in doing so. And he'll say to me and has said to me, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. I commanded you, and you did. That's all I wanted. I wanted you, as a sinner, to come to me because I'm the only one who can cleanse you. I'm the only one who can pardon you. I'm the only one who can forgive you. I'm the only one who can make you whole. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Faith, repentance, surrender, whatever you want to call it, is a gift of God. According to the working of His mighty power. And when you read in Ephesians chapter 1 where it says that, according to the work of His mighty power, the very next phrases say it was resurrection power. The power that He had to bring Himself from the dead. That same power. So what did this man do? Well, let's think about it a minute. I've often thought whenever the children of Israel were bitten by the snakes and Moses commanded to put up the pole with the brass snake on it and told them just to look. look and you'll live. I've often thought, I wonder how many people were like people of today. Oh, that's silly. That can't be true. Why would I even look at something like that? And by the way, it was probably not a real big thing, so if you're going to take a good look at it, you're going to have to go find it. It's going to be somewhere there. Moses got it up there in the air. Now, if you just look at it, you live. I need to go to a doctor. I need to get that snake serum. Now, look at that. I wonder how this man, if this man, he didn't, but if this man would have thought about it. Oh, my goodness. Stretch forth my hand. This hand's been like this since I was little. How in the world? It's useless. I can't move it. It's withered. It's drawled up. It's wasted away. It's as good as dead. And he tells me to stretch it forward. Do you know there was no hesitation? No hesitation. When the Lord commands, it's done. He stretched it forth. And it became whole. Just like the other. We have passed from death unto life. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Being made whole at that moment, it was immediate. It was perfect. It was permanent. Eternal salvation. Ye are complete in Him. I'd like to close tonight with Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, a few verses from Isaiah 40. I'm sure I haven't said everything that could be said about the man with the withered hand. But I'm glad that God came to me, a withered old sinner, and said, come. And I came. And I was made whole. Just like he said. Isaiah 40, down to verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. That's me. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. That's me. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen to this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's what the Lord will do. He'll make you whole. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word tonight. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit who guides us into truth. And thank you, Lord, for your salvation that you made my salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you took this old withered hand and made it whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a couple stanzas of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound.